In San Francisco, the Tenderloin District is home to strip clubs, homeless drifters, drug pushers, and a mosque. The Islamic Society of San Francisco is housed in an old four-story building where many of the city's Muslims go to pray. Last January, it was closed for renovations. When worshippers returned, they discovered a change, which reflects a big debate in the Muslim world. It involves the place of women. Hannah Baba reports from member station KALW.
About 150 men and women stream into the third floor of what's known by locals as the Jones Street Mosque in time for the Friday afternoon prayer. They all sit down on lush red carpeting facing Mecca. The prayer leader, or imam, is inducting a new convert into Islam.
And I accept to be a decent and upright Muslim.
I accept to be a decent and upright Muslim.
Takbir.
This prayer hall used to be different. Before renovation, the men prayed in about two-thirds of this main hall. The women were in the back, behind an 8-foot concrete wall. They were completely isolated from the men, as is the case in most mosques in the U.S. That wall is now gone.
But I never really wanted it.
Cyber copy. May I help you?
Suleiman Ghali owns this photocopy shop in San Francisco. He was also president of the Jones Street Mosque for the past 6 years. Last winter, he decided to remove the women's wall, to the delight and disgust of many. He says it was something that had been eating at him for years.
I've always understood Islam to be respectful to men and women equally, and having a segregated hall for the women to pray in was not the way it should be done.
That decision sparked an outrage. Ghali says some congregants called him evil and deviant, and he's no stranger to criticism. Ghali's interfaith work in the mosque had already drawn the ire of many conservative Muslims. He invites Christians, Jews, and Buddhists into the mosque for face-to-face dialogue. Ghali says that doesn't sit well with some of his congregants.
People would come in and say, oh, you know what, next you're going to turn the mosque into a church, or you're going to turn the mosque into a synagogue, and we're going to boycott, and some of them did.
Ghali's outreach policy wasn't an accident. In 1991, he was looking for a place to rent for his new mosque. The one building he found was owned by a Jew. As a Palestinian raised in a Lebanese refugee camp, Ghali says he was surprised at how cordial the Jewish owner was.
He was very welcoming, supported us, and gave us a tremendous amount of good deal, which we can afford to pay the rent. That by itself, you know, him being a Jewish, we're Muslims, and the animosity of, you know, what's going on between Muslim and Jews in the Middle East, that played a major role in also shaping the vision of the mosque that we need to open up to other faith communities.
Ghali's mosque became known for being non-traditional. The sermons were in English, not the usual Arabic or Urdu found in most immigrant mosques. Older immigrant Muslims started leaving, while the younger American-born population grew. Then, one Friday in the spring of 2005, a woman named Esra Nomani visited the mosque. Ghali's next controversial move was conceived.
As I was given the sermon, I'm looking in the back of the mosque, and here is a woman sitting right there in the middle of the men.
Nomani is well known to Muslims as the feminist that shook up the community last year when she embarked on a mosque tour and always sat in the men's area. Ghali's mosque is the only one where the leaders didn't ask her to leave.
It was more like a litmus test that she did for us. You know, her, she is sitting there and nothing happened. No violent reaction. And that by itself has stuck with me, that if she can do it, then I think we have a movement here that might allow us to really go ahead with this thing.
And so down went the wall. Many thought it was a welcome step forward. Surprisingly, though, most of the complaints came from women.
This is too open.
53-year-old convert Dolores Smith wants the wall back.
I believe that it is more important for us to be able to focus on our prayer without wondering if we are being watched by the men. We're constantly thrown together in the outside world, sometimes with disastrous results, that we should be able to at least come to pray without wondering, is somebody staring at us?
Some women petitioned for the return of the wall. Others left the mosque altogether. Many of them ended up here. Just around the corner from the Jones Street Mosque is the new, more conservative El Sebil Mosque. The women's group is cleaning up after a Friday afternoon lunch of rice, lentils, and hummus. They're completely sealed off from the rest of the mosque in their own quarters. Nusayba Mursi says she'd never go back to the Jones Mosque. She enjoys her exclusive women's section.
It makes women special. Like, this is our area. It's private. We can interact the way we want to. I feel very, very comfortable the way it is.
This mosque's birth is closely connected to Gali. Its founder, Safwat Morsi, used to work for Gali as a co-imam. However, like two Jones Mosque leaders before him, he was fired by Gali for allegedly giving sermons that were too radical. Unlike his predecessors, Morsi sued Gali, claiming he was only fired because he exposed shoddy accounting practices at the Jones Mosque. That civil case was decided this spring. The jury ruled the Jones Mosque had no just cause for dismissing Morsi, and he was awarded damages. Morsi is now lead imam at the El Sebil Mosque. He says, unlike Gali, he consulted with the female congregants about whether to have a wall.
The women asked for a separator, so we put up a curtain. Then they said, no, we want a wall, so we put the wall up.
The El Sebil Mosque has now grown to over 100 congregants, many of whom fled the Jones Mosque. Professor Khalid Abul Fadl teaches Islamic law at UCLA. He isn't surprised by this exodus. He says the El Sebil Mosque represents the predominant mosque culture in America. Still, he says Gali's move will encourage Islamic centers to rethink their policies toward women, but not right away and only after a fight.
If we're looking within a year or two for, you know, one mosque after another to start taking the separator down, well, that's not going to happen. The imam is going to go through a vicious attack if he holds out, as he should, and if others like him hold out as they should, I think in a decade the picture will be completely different.
Suleiman Gali is aware of the can of worms he's opened up, but says he's following the example of Islam's original mosque in Mecca, where there's no segregation at all. Whether the Jones Mosque will remain wall-free is by no means certain. A group of women continue to lobby for its return. For NPR News, I'm Hannah Baba in San Francisco.